We'll read this morning from Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 22. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be carried on the hip. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and exult, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall bring good news, the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered to you, and the rams of Nebaioth shall minister to you. They shall come up with acceptance on my altar, and I will beautify my beautiful house. Who are these that fly like a cloud and like doves to their windows? For the coastlands shall hope from me, the ships of Tarshish first, to bring your children from afar, their silver and gold with them, for the name of the Lord your God and for the Holy One of Israel, because he has made you beautiful. Foreigners shall build up your walls, and their kings shall minister to you. For in my wrath I struck you, but in my favor I have had mercy on you. Your gates shall be open continually, day and night they shall not be shut, that people may bring to you the wealth of the nations, with their kings led in procession. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve you shall perish. Those nations shall be utterly laid waste. The glory of Lebanon shall come to you, the cypress, the plane, and the pine, to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. The sons of those who afflicted you shall come bending low to you, and all who despised you shall bow down at your feet. They shall call you the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Whereas you have been forsaken and hated, with no one passing through, I will make you majestic forever, a joy from age to age. You shall suck the milk of nations, you shall nurse at the breast of kings, and you shall know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Instead of bronze, I will bring gold, and instead of iron, I will bring silver. Instead of wood, bronze. Instead of stones, iron. I will make your overseers peace and your taskmasters righteousness. Violence shall no more be heard in your land, devastation or destruction within your borders. You shall call your walls salvation and your gates praise. The sun shall be no more your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give you light. But the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun shall no more go down, nor your moon withdraw itself, for the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of mourning shall be ended. Your people shall all be righteous. They shall possess the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I might be glorified. The least one shall become a clan, and the smallest one a mighty nation. I am the Lord. In its time, I will hasten it.
Well, Merry Christmas, everyone. Just a delight to sing the praises of God on Christmas Eve morning with our gathered church family. There's simply nothing more delightful to the human soul than to know that God has come, that God's with us, and we get to praise him together. Isaiah 60 is a chapter that gives us all the sounds and sights of Christmas, doesn't it? If you were following along as Rick read for us, weren't there bright lights throughout the chapter and expensive presents throughout the chapter? And weren't there children being gathered from all around and coming together and seeing each other? Weren't all the sights and sounds of Christmas in that chapter? This chapter seems to embody all that Christmas represents to us. And yet, we all probably have a question this morning. Is it a Christmas chapter? Is this the kind of chapter a church should think about on Christmas Eve morning? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. And my argument to you this morning is that, yes, indeed, this is a Christmas chapter for each one of us. So here's the big idea of our chapter that we're going to chew on for just a little bit. Our big idea in this chapter. Here it is. God is making a Christmas people to whom the nations can come and among whom God will one day dwell. Therefore, this people must always remain bold and hopeful. So it's a mouthful, but let me try it again. God is making a Christmas people to whom the nations can come and among whom God will one day dwell. Therefore, this people should be hopeful and bold. So four things in that sentence. We'll touch on each of them in our next half hour or so. The first one, God is making a Christmas people. Second, to whom the nations can come. Third, among whom God will one day dwell. And fourth, therefore, this people should always be bold and hopeful. All right, that'll be our meditation for the morning. So our first nugget of thinking together, God is making a Christmas people. God is making a Christmas people, and that's the picture we see in Isaiah chapter 60. Now, if we want to get the full picture of our Christmas people, we actually can't begin in Isaiah 60, but we need to begin in the chapter right before it. The chapter right before it. So if you have your Bibles open, look at Isaiah 59, and we're going to look at verse 14, 15, and then verse 20. So look at Isaiah 59, verse 14. This is bad news. Isaiah 59, verse 14. Justice is turned back, and righteousness stands far away, for truth has stumbled in the public squares, and righteousness cannot enter. Truth is lacking, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. Isaiah 59, verse 14 and 15 gives us a picture of a world where justice, righteousness, and truth have been emptied from the public conversation. It's a world where as people discourse in the public spaces, there is no righteousness. There's no truth. And it seems like, what is the news that we can believe anymore? The poet William Yeats described this world with slightly different words, but the same idea. Yeats wrote this: things fall apart. The center cannot hold. Near anarchy is loosed upon the world. The blood-dimmed tide is loosed, and everywhere the ceremony of innocence is drowned. The blood-dimmed tide is loosed, and everywhere the ceremony of innocence is drowned. This is simply another way of saying that justice is turned back, righteousness stands far away, and truth has stumbled in the public square. Well, what's going to be the solution to a world that seems to avoid justice and righteousness, a world that seems bent on emptying truth from conversation? What could be the solution in such a dark world? Well, William Yeats, in his poem, his answer is something like this: and what rough beast, its hour come round at last, slouches toward Bethlehem to be born. What rough beast, its hour come at last, slouches toward Bethlehem to be born. Isaiah has a similar answer, and he puts it differently in verse 20. Look at verse 20 with me. And a redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who turn from transgression, declares the Lord. What is the answer to a world that seems to be falling apart? What's the answer to a world where we can say anarchy is loosed upon the world and there's a blood-dimmed tide and everywhere the ceremony of innocence is drowned. What's the answer? Are the lights and the presents and the eating at Christmas time, is it all a facade distracting us from the real suffering and problems of the world around us? Isaiah 59 and 60 that we're going to look at is telling us that no, Christmas is not a facade. Christmas is the answer. There's a Redeemer who comes to Zion. And to those in Jacob who turn from their transgression, there's hope. And then look at, still in 59, but look at verse 21 with me. As for me, this is God, this is the covenant, this is my covenant with them. The them is those in Jacob who turn from their transgressions. My covenant with them, my spirit that is upon you, the you there refers to the Redeemer. It's masculine, singular language. My spirit that's upon my Redeemer, and my words I put in my Redeemer's mouth, it shall not depart out of your mouth, that's the Redeemer, or out of the mouth of your offspring. That's the people of Christmas. It shall not depart out of the mouth of your offspring, or the mouth of your children's offspring, says the Lord. From this time forth and forevermore. As a blood-dimmed tide is loosed upon the world, God creates Christmas, and he sends a Redeemer. And that Redeemer, he puts words and his spirit upon his Redeemer. But the Redeemer doesn't hoard that to himself. The Redeemer has children, and those children have children. And what we see at the end of verse of chapter 59 is that there's a multi-generational picture of hope. That the Redeemer has a family. And that family has more family. And it's as we end chapter 59 that then we turn into chapter 60. And in chapter 60, this intergenerational conversation of hope continues. So look at chapter 60 with me. Verse 1 through 3. Chapter 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has arisen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you, and nations shall come to your brightness, and kings to the brightness of your rising. If we had to supply a word into chapter 60 that we're not seeing right now, we might have supplied the word children. Children arise, children shine, for your light has come. And then children, look at verse 4. Children, lift up your eyes all around and see. They are all gathered together, they come to you. Your sons, the offspring of the children. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be carried at the hip. Isaiah 60 is a picture of the Christmas gathering of the ages. It's in a time of darkness when truth has been emptied from public discourse, a Redeemer comes. And that Redeemer has a spirit and words upon him. And that spirit and those words rest upon his children. And then upon those children's children. It's a picture as we get into Isaiah 60 of a Redeemer who frees Jacob, who frees Israel from his sins, and then the whole world gets to celebrate. The whole world gets to celebrate that a Redeemer has come at Christmas. And so as we begin this chapter 60 meditation, we want to affirm this, that God is making a Christmas people. He doesn't just give us a Christmas child, the world gets a Christmas people. People who hope in this child. So that's our first nugget of thinking together, that God is making a Christmas people. Now, a quick survey in the rest of our chapter, so from verse 3 to verse 14 specifically, from verse 3 to verse 14, we get a picture in Isaiah that Isaiah expects all the nations of the world to find their hope in this Christmas people. all the nations of the world, they want in. Like, you're the family we want to belong to. There's darkness covering the world. And there's a people who have light, who have truth, who have a foundation, who have hope. And that hope, we see it throughout the language throughout this chapter, that hope is attractive. Hope is so attractive. When people can look at a world where everything's busted, everything's broken, and yet they're hopeful, it's attractive. And that's what this chapter is telling us. God's making himself a Christmas people to whom the nations can come, and the nations will find that people beautiful. Verse 4 begins the description of a massive migration. A massive migration. I'm sure all of us have seen geese flying the last year, the last month or two. Right? Lots of geese. Some of us may have seen snow geese. Those are even more impressive. Lots of snow geese. They're migrating. They're all getting together, and then they're traveling to a new land. That's the picture we see from verse 4 to verse 14. There's a massive migration. So verse 4 is this command, lift up your eyes all around. He's talking to the Christmas people. Christmas people, lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together like a bunch of geese. They all gather together and they come to you. They're coming. Your sons shall come from afar. Your daughters shall be carried at the hip. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your hope is beautiful as people are drawn to the light. The light that's dawned upon you, you're going to be radiant. And your heart shall thrill and exult. There's a massive migration of people here. The nations are coming to a Christmas people. But notice the language in verse 6 especially. Look at verse 6. A multitude of camels shall cover you. If you're looking for a new Christmas card greeting to send next year, this would be a great line. May a multitude of camels cover you. A multitude of camels shall cover you. The young camels of Midian and Ephah and those from Sheba shall come. And then notice this next sentence. They shall bring gold and frankincense. They shall bring gold and frankincense. Where have we heard gold and frankincense being brought before? Who is it that gets gold and frankincense for his birthday? Gold and frankincense coming in this caravan of travelers is no coincidence at Christmas. But then notice the next line. They shall bring good news. Gospel. The praises of the Lord. For verse 6 to describe gold and frankincense with gospel hope is not a coincidence in chapter 60 of Isaiah. No, the migration of chapter 60 in Isaiah is the direct result of Christmas. This is God's Christmas people drawing the nations to himself to celebrate the birth of a Savior. So in this section, there's five other distinctive features that we want to think about. So without glossing over everything, because there is a whole lot in chapter 60 of Isaiah, here are five things that are important for all of us to see this morning. So we'll notice five distinctive features in this section. Distinctive feature number one is simply the number of people coming. Look at all the places mentioned in this section. Midian, Ephah, Sheba, Kedar, Nebaioth, Tarshish, Lebanon. Foreigners and their kings is the language it uses. Foreigners and their kings. People are coming from everywhere in Isaiah 60 to this light of hope. And so the first thing we want to note is that the baby who comes to Bethlehem at Christmas is drawing all people to himself as a Christmas people. This child, that like Christmas is a celebration that is supposed to attract more and more people from more and more countries. The Christmas child is drawing all people to himself to become Christmas people. Okay, the second distinctive feature is the language of family. So there's a lot of people coming from everywhere. But they're coming as family. So we notice the language, your sons shall come from afar, your daughters carried on the hip. When it gets to the language of Tarshish coming, the ships of Tarshish, verse 9, those ships are carrying your children. And then look at verse 16. Now we can all just admit that 16 is worded very awkwardly for us today. You shall suck the milk of nations. You shall nurse at the breast of kings. Okay, it's a little bit awkward language. Don't put that on your Christmas card next year. That's right. This is the language of the coziest, littlest, warmest, fullest, cuddliest, burping, loved little thing you've ever seen. There's no one in the world who's safer, warmer, happier, cozier than a little baby nursing. And it says that this Christmas people is going to be that in the world. That there's going to be a people who belong to God, who are going to be the fullest, safest, happiest, burpingest, little cute things ever. That's the language of 16. It's the language of family. It's the language of people who belong to someone. It's the language of people who know who provides their needs. So we notice the number of people coming. We notice this language of family. That the baby that comes at Christmas, it makes these people into family. The people from Sheba and Tarshish, Kedar, Lebanon, they come into the Christmas people and they are safe and fed. Okay, third thing we notice is the worship happening. All right, so from verse 6 and 7 and 9 and 18, we see that salvation is happening. The worship is happening. So verse 6, they're coming with the praises of the Lord. Verse 7, they're coming to the altar and their offerings are being accepted. And the house, this is the temple's made beautiful with the worship of the nations. Okay, verse 9, we see that the coastlands are hoping. The coastlands are hoping. Verse 18, that this it's going to be a city and the walls will be called salvation and praise. So this is the third thing we notice in this text. There's lots of people coming. These people are being made into a family, sons and daughters. And these people have been chained somehow. Their hearts are hoping in the God of Israel. They're bringing their sacrifices to the temple in Israel. People are coming. They're going to be a family. Their hearts are going to be changed. And number four, fourth thing we notice, they're going to be safe. They're going to be safe. Foreigners are building up their walls in verse 10. Foreigners shall build up your walls, and their king shall minister to you. In my wrath I struck you. In my favor I've had mercy on you. Verse 11, their gates don't close. Your gates shall be open continually, day and night. They won't be shut. Verse 18, there's going to be no more violence here. Violence will be no more heard in your land. Devastation or destruction within your borders. Man, this is going to be a safe place. Right? Those little babies nursing. Safety is going to be there. The baby who comes at Christmas, he draws all people to himself. He makes a family out of those people. He changes those people. And he makes those people safe. Right? This is this big picture we're getting in Isaiah 60. But here's the fifth thing we have to notice. It's a thing of warning. It's in verse 12. Verse 12 is the very center of our chapter, and it's there for emphasis at the center. Look at verse 12. Lots of good, positive, warm, hopeful, bright, Christmassy things. Verse 12, still there. The nation and the kingdom that will not serve you that you hear is the Christmas people, the nation and kingdom that will not serve you shall perish. Those nations shall be utterly laid waste. It's the very center of our text, the very center of our chapter. It's there for emphasis. Joining the Christmas people is a non-negotiable reality. There's no middle ground in Isaiah 60. There's the land of darkness and the people of light. And in fact, the fate of all nations, the fate of all the world, depends on how you respond to the people of light. The nation and kingdom that won't serve you shall perish. Those nations shall be utterly laid waste. It's a verse that reminds us not just of the beauty of Christmas, but the seriousness of Christmas. At Christmas, we worship a baby who is drawing a multitude of people to himself, making them a family, changing their hearts, offering eternal security. And this child at Christmas is the most real thing in reality. This child is the most real thing in reality. And we either come to the light of this child, revealed through his ministry among his people, or we perish in the darkness. This is the most real thing at Christmas. So if we just think about our local church family, if you're visiting us today, we are thrilled that you've decided to join us. Really thrilled that at Christmas you would join us to worship. But let's just think about our church, the people who have covenanted together here to walk this path of Christmas into eternity. There's a real diversity in our local church. There's a real diversity of both ethnic background, of socioeconomic, but of ideas even. There's a real diversity in how we think, right? So our church is filled with people who think differently about things like public welfare and the solutions. Where people, we think differently about the crisis at our border and its solutions. We're people who we think differently about the problems in our environment and its solutions. We're a diverse people. We come together and we all have different ideas of what the problems are and what the solutions are. But do you know what draws us together week after week? A child. A child who changed our hearts and who drew us out of darkness. A child who gave us the hope of Christmas that our lights would shine. And a child that says, anyone who does not come to the brightness of this light will perish. As a local church family, we are as different as people from Tarshish and Sheba. And yet we've come united in a family. And we've come to the light of Bethlehem. As a church family, we've brought our gifts of worship and self-sacrifice. And it's good. He's made us radiant. He's beautifying his house with a host of people from every nation who aren't exactly alike in every way. And yet the one way that they are alike is their hope at Christmas. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful. If you're here this morning and you haven't already pledged your worship to the Christmas child, we invite you to do so, and we invite you to join us. There's no other place where eternal light and eternal hope and eternal beauty will be found. There's no other place. This is an urgent priority for every person here this morning. Will you come lay your gifts down before the Christ child? Joining us is simple and yet hard. It's a turning from your transgressions, turning from your sins, turning from me being the most important person in the world, and turning to trust Christ, who is the most important in the world. To finding your identity and hope in Him. This is our hope at Christmas. This is the message that beautifies this people gathered here today. Let's take a quick look at the end of our Isaiah 60 Christmas people passage. God's making a Christmas people to whom the nations can come and among whom God will one day dwell. So we could argue that the gold and frankincense have already come. The Redeemer has already come. But verse 19 and 22 are not here. Turn to verse 19, if you have to turn. Verse 19. The sun shall no more be your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give you light, but the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun will no more go down, your moon no more withdraw itself, for the Lord will be your everlasting light. And your days of mourning, days of sorrow, days of pain, days of sadness, days of sickness, will be ended. Your people shall all be righteous. They shall all possess the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I might be glorified. So many of us have decorated our living rooms for Christmas. Some of us have even, if we're really excited, we've decorated our outsides. Do we have any outside light people here? Outside light people? Show hands. No shame in outside lights. Outside lights, a lot of us. And you know what? All those lights have to come down soon. All those lights will come down. Well, they should come down. Well, they don't have to come down. You can do whatever you want. We're in a time of celebration where all of us realize that some of us have to go back to school. Anyone have to go back to school in a week? Pretty soon? Yep, I see some hands. All of us have to go back to work. Many of us have to go back to work. We all have to go back to chores. All those dishes got to be done. We put them off last night, but they're still there. But it's not always going to be like that. We won't always have to take down our lights anymore. We won't always have to keep doing the chores again. We won't always have to go back to school. We won't always have to go back to work. A day is coming when the light doesn't end. A day is coming when the sun won't set. And that's a day when we'll be happy again. If you're to flip all the way to the end of your Bibles and just read the last two pages of your Bible this afternoon, you'll be in the book of Revelation. Those last two pages describe this city in further detail. And there we read that there's a day with no more tears, no more funerals, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain. The former things that burden us, they'll all have passed away. And God will dwell with the people he made at Christmas forever. Well, so what? It all sounds good. What does it matter? Well, here's what it matters. For the people of Christmas, the people who are going to claim this Christ child for their own, and who together look for that beast that slouches to Bethlehem to be born, in the words of Yeats, the reason it matters is really back at the beginning of the chapter. And there's four commands. There's four imperatives at the beginning of our chapter for the Christmas people. It's in verse 1 and verse 4. Arise, shine. Lift up your eyes and see. These are four commands for the people who belong to Christmas. And at Christmas, we recognize that righteousness and justice and truth, to various degrees, are all up for grabs in our fallen age. It's always been this way. In some ways, it's getting worse. But the people who are born at Christmas have never placed their hope in that place. They've never placed their hope in the public square. That's never been the Christmas people's hope, because they know Isaiah 59. And they know that as the world loses its center, the center cannot hold, anarchy is loosed upon the world, the blood-dimmed time is loosed upon us. As that happens, the Christmas people have always known Isaiah 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come. Lift up your eyes all around and see your sons come from afar. Isaiah 60 is a message to the Christmas people to be bold and hopeful, even as the world around us looks dark. Because our light doesn't come from the world. It comes from the one who made the world. And so we hear the words of Jesus saying, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, disciples, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who's in heaven. Let your light shine, disciples, and let the world see the beauty that God's made at Christmas." And church, even as we go into our Christmas Eve to celebrate today, be hopeful. Be bold. Christmas is the most real thing about reality, and our light has come. And even as there's chores to do and school to go back to and work, we've got to start again. Let's do it without grumbling or disputing, that we could be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life.